Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, we thank you for your truth, and we thank you for the words that we have here in Scripture. And so now as we come to them, Lord, we ask that you help us to clear our hearts, to clear our minds, so that we can hear your voice through this all. So that we can know your truth and live it out. For we know, Father, that we came here to worship you. And we know that you will send us to serve you. And so for these things, we are grateful and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue to work our way through these disciplines of faith, as we continue to look at the things that, what do we work on? What makes us faithful? How do we have faith and how do we show faith? You know, as we look at these things now, we talk of them in the sense that they're disciplines. In other words, they are things that we bring us to and that we continue to do them. So it's not punishment that we bring ourselves to, but rather it is the discipline of an orderly person. In other words, we get up and do these things because we know the God that gave them to us. And so we do them because we know that it pleases him. We do those things not because we have to, but because our hearts, our faith brings us to them. And so now we're going to talk about today about our service. We talked about prayer and we talked about worship. But now we're going to talk about service and how our faith expresses itself in the community of believers and even in the community of the unbeliever. That as we have this faith, as we have this devotion to our God, that we grow in this faith and devotion, that it will start to express itself, it will start to show itself. And that's where we come to here today. That if we look at the Corinthians and this letter to the Corinthians, that we would know that they have a problem. There's a problem going on in their church. They have these issues that are taking place and that they are fighting amongst each other. And as this continues, then Paul addresses that in his letter. Now, we're in chapter 12. If you want to come back with me, I'm going to go into chapter 1 for just a few verses. So you're welcome to wait there for me. And indeed, if it's easier for you, just stay there because I have some other verses after that I want to share with you and that will bring me back to you here in a bit. So back in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verses 4 to 10, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony among Christ among you. In other words, Paul says, I see Christ in you. I see the Holy Spirit working in you. I see Jesus working in you. And in verse 7, he says, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul writes to Corinthians. He writes to them and he's saying, I see your faith. I know that you know Jesus. I know that you can do this. That I know that when God has you, that he gives you everything that you need. But then in verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So where God enables, the church has disabled. That the church themselves, the Corinthian church, has become an obstacle to what God has enabled them to do. Now, because of their faith, because of their love for Christ, and what Paul knows is this hopeful expectation they have of Jesus Christ's return, he writes to them to point this out. He writes to them to help them. And as he writes to them, and as we find our way back into 12, what we'll see is that then he says, this is how you know you have a problem. Your service has become dysfunctional. That what you are to do and your expression of your faith has ceased. It has stopped. That you no longer serve one another, but rather you serve yourselves. And in serving yourselves, then, you no longer serve Christ who has saved you. And so as we look at our service and try to understand what this is, I think we need to go back and kind of bring ourselves to an understanding of this. And this is the part where I'm going to run out over here a little bit. And if you want to wait there in Corinthians 12 for me, I'll be right back. I'll meet you there. But as we look at to see what service is, we are required and we must go look in other parts of the scripture to find that definition. And indeed, when you're in your own studies, I suggest that you do this quite often. That you don't let just one verse explain it to you, but you let all the other scripture help you to understand. So in Romans 12, in verses 1 to 2, we find, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It is our sacrifice. We serve God that we give of ourselves. And Paul telling the Romans and thereby telling us, he says that it is you that is the living sacrifice. Whatever you have, whatever you do, whatever you show, this is how you worship your God. By sacrifice. By self-sacrifice. It is something you give up. That when we serve God, we worship God. That when we serve him in our lives, whether it's here in the church or whether it's out in our community, then we are showing others this is how we sacrifice for our God. And more importantly, we show God this is how we want to be pleasing to him. So it requires something of us. And in that sacrifice, we find ourselves pleasing to God. In that sacrifice, we bring glory to God who created us and saved us. And in our sacrifice, in our service, then we find ourselves in obedience to the Lord who calls us into salvation. So then 1 Chronicles 28, 9 to 10, Solomon, or actually David, is praying over his son Solomon. He's dedicating him. He will be king. And where David wanted to build a temple, God has commanded that it won't be David, but it would be Solomon, his son. And so in that dedication in 1 Chronicles 28, 9 to 10, David says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. So as he offers to his son, Solomon, is that you make this dedication of yourself to God. Make sure before you make up your mind, you understand what this means. And so then as we find, then Solomon does dedicate himself to God. He does dedicate him to service. And we find in that charge to Solomon is that we are to do it with devoted hearts. with all of ourselves, with all of our being. We're supposed to be wholehearted in our devotion, and that we are to serve Him with a willing mind. In other words, we do it joyfully. We do it not because we have to, but because we want to. However that shows itself in our lives when we serve, it starts with our hearts. This is what we do and who we do it for. And so it brings us to this committed relationship with God, with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But the key word being, we're committed to it. We gave our word. We gave our promise that when you saved us, Jesus, we would serve you. So 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 then, Peter's writing out to the church and he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter, as he writes to them, he says, this is the thing that God gave you. He gave you a gift and you're to use it. You're to take that gift and you're to take it and you're to use it in your body of believers, in your church. You're to use it outside of your church. You're to use that because your task is to bring glory to God. And it is through this enabling that God will do that. You see, this wasn't just Paul harassing the Corinthians, but rather this was Paul and Peter then preaching the things of God. And that as they teach and preach these things of God, they call people to understand that they have this gift, they have this ability, and everybody who believes in Jesus Christ has it, that they are to use it. It's not something that we just take and sit on, but rather we do something with it. And that what we do with that is not only to serve our God, but to serve each other, to be sacrificial to one another, to give of ourselves, to think of others more importantly than we think of our very self. And then in Matthew 20, in verses 26 to 28, we find that Jesus sets forth this example, even in himself, that if our master can do this, then why can't the servants? So Jesus then tells us, he says, he's talking to the disciples, and the disciples they're asking about the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are kind of coming to them, and they're lording their authority, their power over them. And so Jesus says to them, he says, not so with you. In other words, you will not lord your power over anyone. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came to serve his Father. We receive the benefits of that service, certainly. And certainly he looks to us then, and he serves as our sacrifice. But all in all, what he says is that we must serve. And he shows us how he did it. So we add to that then, John 13:15-17. Then Jesus says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. He has just finished washing their feet, the disciples' feet. He has humbled himself in their presence. He has knelt in front of them. He has taken the dirty part of their body, their feet, and he has washed it. And he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you serve in this way, in the way that Jesus has done it, then you will be blessed. We must follow the example of Jesus Christ. We must repeatedly bring ourselves to that example and so that we can check ourselves to see if we're serving the way we're supposed to be serving. So now, I'm going to come back to you in our chapter 12, our verses 1 to 14. So now we have this understanding, this definition, if you will, of what service is. We have this understanding then of that it was given to us by God, that God enabled it, but sometimes we disable it. But now as we come here, we see what Paul does with all this then to correct this problem in the Corinthian church. So if you would look at your scripture there with me, I'm going to go right to verse 2. Okay, so he's told them about those gifts of the Spirit. Okay, he says in verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. When you were pagans. You see, what he's asking them to remember is what you were before Jesus came into your life. That before you knew about your salvation, and then what Christ made you aware of your salvation, and now you live in the hope of your salvation, you were pagans. You didn't know Jesus. You walked without Jesus. You walked without God. You walked without His care. But what you were before, remember what you were before. As we talk about correcting the problem that you have right now. And in during that times, Paul says, he says, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. In other words, to idols that don't speak. In other words, to things that do not speak for God. And indeed, the statues, the rocks, the sticks, whatever it was that they were worshiping, weren't God. And we have that still in our lives, that we come even to ourselves and we try to worship ourselves over God. And so as he brings them to understand how to correct this problem, he brings them to understand that you must first look to the one who gave you the gifts. God. Jesus Christ. There is no us in this. There is us looking at God. And that as we look at this and try to understand how do we correct these problems, the usually, and we find this even in our own world, is that usually what we find at the base of the problem is ourselves. Is that somehow or other we're only looking at ourselves and we're not looking at someone else. Unlike what Jesus did, where he sacrificed his life so that we could live even when we rejected him. So in verse 3, he immediately turns this into, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So he reminds them and reminds us, who do you serve? Who called you into service? Who was it that came in you and transformed you that you would do this? So someone then, if you look at the contradiction he kind of makes here, or rather the contradiction that he lifts up to us and we look in the mirror, he says, if the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, you cannot be speaking by God. And he says that if you say Jesus is Lord, the only way you can say that is if the Holy Spirit is in you. So if the Holy Spirit is in you and you accept Jesus Christ, then we understand this connection that we have with Christ himself. That Christ calls us, that Christ brings us to this moment to give this gift, to work in this spiritual way. And in verses 4, 5, and 6, he gives us an understanding right away of how that shows in our lives. Now, there's a couple of things that I do want to take apart in those three verses. If you would look and notice, please, the three different times that he repeats different kinds of, and then it's followed by something else. So we have three times he repeats different kinds of. But then after each one, we find these three words, gifts, service, and working. Gifts, service, and working. And as we look at those things, and we also match them up to look at where he says the Spirit distributes, the same Lord gives service, the same God gives working, that we start to see a connection of who God is and how he has made himself manifest in the world. So first, there are the gifts that the Spirit distributes. So we have this ability. He's not talking about skills. He's not talking about talents. He's talking about ability. If you're able to do it. And then he talks about service. Now this is the dynamic or the relationship that we have with the Trinity. With God, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. That as we bring ourselves into this relationship through our salvation, or we are rather brought to it by Jesus Christ, we are brought into this relationship, into this dynamic, then we understand this relationship of service that we have in Jesus Christ. This willingness to serve Jesus. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. So we have this ability and we say, yes, Lord, for you. For yes, Lord, you gave me this gift so I could serve you. So then, in the working, which is the same God, so we have this activity that is expressed through these gifts, through the service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a progression of things. He gives you. You say, thank you. I commit myself to you. And then it shows itself in the activity and the working that God puts us into. Verse 7, he says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So all of those things that we just mentioned, the gifts, the service, the working, the ability, the relationship, the activity, it all leads to the common good of all. To the common good of all the believers first, as Paul tells us in Philippians, the believer first and then the unbeliever. But to the church first, and then to the community that surrounds the church, that we take what God has given us and that's what we do with it. That's how we serve Him. We serve for the common good of others. Others serve for the common good of us if we're worried about that. I serve my wife. I serve her because I know in exchange, or rather in commitment to God, she is serving me because God has called us to that. That is the dynamic in the relationship of God, not only in our marriages, but in our church. Not only the relationships of our church, but the relationship of the believers to other believers. And that when we deny service, when we ignore what we've been called to do, we not only do to each other, but we do to God. So, at the verse 11, then, verses 8 to 10, what he's showing there is he's showing the different manifestations of the Spirit in different ways in everybody. It's not a complete list. He shows us a partial list here, but he's just given us an idea. So we say, well, how does that show itself? He gives us a list of things and says, this is how it shows itself. And this is what they do with them. But then in verse 11, he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit decides. We don't decide. We don't decide the abilities that God would give us. But rather, He puts them in us. They manifest in us. And then we are the ones then who use them. So what that means then is our gifts start to appear, that they can be in variety. There will be different kinds as we see even from the partial list. There are always different kinds of gifts that shows itself within the body of believers, within the individual who is a believer. If the Holy Spirit is working in us, it will show itself in us. We must search for it and seek it to know what it is. But first and foremost, we must recognize that God put it there. God put it there. The Holy Spirit has decided to place it in your heart. So we have variety then. And we also see then a frequency of things. We see a frequency of gifts. Later, at the end of that list, he talks about tongues. He talks about the speaking of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. We haven't had much use for that lately. We haven't seen a lot of that lately. You know, so that says is that then that God hasn't been manifesting that in people. That He hasn't had a need for that. And so He doesn't put it in His believers. And so He decides, not us. We don't decide what comes and goes, but rather God decides what comes and goes. For His plan and for His glory. And sometimes I think that when we look at these things, we also, you know, we look at them, we say, well, maybe it's a lifetime commitment or maybe it's a lifetime sentence to be given a particular gift. Like, say, for example, preaching. Maybe I'm sentenced to life for this. This is my punishment in this life. Amen. Maybe it's yours. See, I'm thinking about you. For the common good. And so you see, but I think sometimes what we lose sight of is that we don't do that, or that we do that, that we decide this is your talent, your gift, this is what God gave you. No, we don't decide that. The Holy Spirit decides it. Whatever it may be, whatever that search we want, we're going to talk about that for just a moment, but whatever that may be, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, they decide, not us. But the one thing that they do tell us through all of this is that every gift is important. It was given for a reason, to serve God. And as we look at understanding of these things, that what are these that he gives us and how we're to use them, he says that I give this to you, and they are all important. They are all important. The person who was standing at the back door today handing out the bulletins was serving the Lord. If their heart was for the Lord, if their life is devoted to the Lord, and they say, how can I serve you, Lord, and serve you others? No matter what the task, sweeping floors, handing out bulletins, preaching a sermon, they're all the same, they're all important. Whatever we do to serve the Lord is serving the Lord. But it must come in this way. It must come with the recognition that it came from the Holy Spirit, and we move on that. And I understand that I won't always be preaching, and the person who is handing out the bulletins won't always be handing out the bulletins. But if God puts it on our heart to do that, then he is moving us to do something. And you see, that's why we can never try to limit him. He gives gifts. He moves people. He gives them ability so they can serve him. And that it is visible in our works. So then verse 12, we are all brought together to be one in these gifts, in this service. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13 is the focus. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Christ, the Holy Spirit, God, the one source of all these things that we're given is how we serve him. And is the dedication of our service. And it also is the transformation of the believer. That as he grows you, he will put you into these moments of service so that you can grow in him. You see, it would be a hazard, I think, that if we were to bring a man to our pulpit that was no longer growing or being grown by the Holy Spirit. If you would never see growth in me, then it would be your obligation to your service to the Lord to remove me. Because if we create it, and certainly there's no sin in doing things that you like, but we can never proclaim it Christ. And if we proclaim Christ where Christ is not, it's a sin. But how do we do this? What do we do with it? How as one does this all work? That we as individuals have these gifts that we bring to the body of Christ and that we use them somehow or other. How do we find out what those are? Now, I'm going to give you my understanding of this, and it is not to speak against anything else that is going on out there or that you have been taught before. Okay, let's get that straight. All right? The reason that we come to the Bible a lot, because there's a lot of stuff here. And it goes deep. And I go with it. I'm really off the deep end sometimes. Amen. But as we look at this then, in this facet of what we've been brought here to bring together a church at Corinth, then what Paul is telling them is that, listen, when you're against each other, when you're in division, you are not serving Jesus together. Get it together. Get it together by remembering who gave you these abilities that you're lording over each other. That your gift is no more special than anyone else's gift. That your gift and the gift that they have are all one and the same because they were all given by the one Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So get it together. Serve Jesus together. So that is our first intention in finding out what our gifts are. Our first intention is that we realize that we're serving Jesus together. And then we seek those gifts. We experience those things. Something lands on your heart and you say, I think I want to try that. Here's what I would offer you in advice about that. Try it. If you're not sinning against God, if you're serving the church in some way or some form, go ahead and try it. If it's your gift, it will hold tight. If it's not your gift, you will say, I'm not going to do that no more. Or anymore, if you know how to speak English. But just do it. Just try it. Seek it. Search it. And ask the Lord, is this what you intended for me to do? And then in the church, as you look at us as the body of believers, look to yourself and say, what need do they have that I can answer? How can I serve in that way? Because we have a lot of needs. The church is a needy place. We're a needy people. Not greedy, needy. And so as we have needs here, then they need to be met. And God will enable one of us to meet that need. And so then as he enables that, then we start to seek to answer it. Is there a need? Then we answer it. Is there a believer who has a need and you think that somehow you can help him inside or outside of the church? Then yes, do it. Go after it. Don't be afraid, because it's more than likely that God put that on your heart to do it. Maybe he only did it once. He gave you a gift and ability to do it one time. Okay, fine, great. Maybe he gave it to you so you would do it all of the time. That's wonderful too. Maybe he just gave it to you so you would find out if that is your gift. That is awesome. Seek it out, search it out, and then do it. Let it show. Let it work through your life so that as you do it, then you will know that this is where God is calling you. Because in the end, if you make a sacrifice to God and you give up some of your time, and it was wrong, I mean, it didn't grab you, and you feel like, well, I don't really think that's my gift. What have you hurt? The only thing you have hurt anything in is that you maybe offend an unbeliever because you show, I do these things because God loves me and God saves me and I serve my God. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know, it'll be something else, but I still serve him. So you see, so as we do these things, we start to find our place in how we show our service. We do it inside the church. We do it outside the church. There is no restriction on the power of our God. And what we find as we search after those gifts, no matter what it is that we're doing to try to seek them, we must first have it in our hearts that we want to know. Then we will grow in our service. We will grow. We can't help it. Because it's not us. It's our God. When he calls you out to do those things and you start doing those things, we will start to grow in our service. And as you, the individual, grow, then the whole church grows because we are part of the same body. You are important to us. Without you, we can't go forward. With you, we will be in faithfulness to our God and he will show us his favor. No one should be left out and no one should take themselves out. That we do this together as one so that we can all grow in our service and then thereby grow in our faith. If you don't know what your gift is, ask somebody to help you. If you know someone who's not sure what their gift is, offer to help them. If they have a need and they just need help, help them. That's what we do in service from the hearts that follow Christ. At the end of chapter 12, Paul goes through another list on how the body works and how it cannot work. He gives you examples in there. The eye can't rebel against the body. Your foot can't rebel against you. And then at the end of the chapter in verse 31, in the second half of 31, he says, yet I will show you the most excellent way. And I love it when Paul says that because he's saying, here's how you do it. Here's how you make it happen. And he says, it's the most excellent way. So that means it's got to be the best possible way, the best possible answer. At the end of chapter 13, after Paul has described them, if they have shallow faith, they are but a clanging gong. They are just a noisemaker without this. And in chapter 13, verse 13, Paul says to them, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Faith and hope one day we will no longer need. It will be done. It will end. But love will last forever because God is love. When you show love for one another in your service, by your service, then you show your love for God. And Paul says, it's the greatest thing that you will ever know. If you want to know love, then serve the one who is love. Father, I thank you so much for the time that you give us together to look into your words and to worship you by your words. We thank you, Father, that you continue to remind us how great you truly are in our lives and certainly in our faith. That we know, Father, that we are lacking in many ways, that we have many faults, that we have many things that come up in us, especially in our sins, that we become an obstacle, even a division within ourselves, to serve you or to not to serve you. So we ask, Father, that as we receive your words today, that as we look to the rest of our day and to tomorrow, that you help us, Father, to do this one thing, to love you with everything that we are, so that we can serve you with everything that you have given us. We call them gifts, Lord. But you enabled them. You are the one who gave them to us. Help us, Father, to strive, to never let you down, to always be pleasing to you, and to never be afraid to search out our service to you, to be your servants. And so we just ask these things, Father, in the name of our great example, our most excellent way, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.